Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Coach K and Joe Show. The Coach K and Joe Show is brought to you by Harmon Dental Care, Jasper Today, Idea Fusion Media, and the Willis Fence Company. Now, here's Joe Milligan and Ken Coach K Schultheis.
Hello and welcome to this week's Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe Milligan, and I'm joined always by the coach, Coach K, Ken Schultheis. Coach, did you get any sleep last night, or were you up till the wee hours watching the Harvard versus New Mexico game?
You know, I got to be honest, Joe. I'm a little winded today from all the March Madness of jumping from one TV to the next, and we set up three TVs in our living room to jump around to the different games. But by New Mexico and Harvard, I was ready for bed, and I got, you know, Steve Alford. I don't know what he does to me, but it seems his teams just cannot get it done in the NCAA tournament when they should. And I just thought it was foregone conclusion that New Mexico would win that game. But obviously, the brilliant minds of Harvard had something else to do.
Well, you know, I really thought that he would. I know a lot of talking heads were talking about how, you know, Final Four and et cetera. So I hadn't seen New Mexico play very much this year. So I thought, well, maybe, you know, Coach Alford's got a good team. And, you know, it's just one of those nights, I guess. You know, one of the few, the only one I really consider an upset of the night. You know, the Cinderellas weren't wearing the slipper last night, were they?
Well, I mean, it's tough to pick the Cinderellas. You know, everybody talks about the higher seeds. They have such good teams because they're from perennially powerful conferences. So you just assume they've got really good teams. But that's why the true bracketologists get so many picks correct, because they go through there and they start looking at the overall team. Are they a good rebounding team? Can they shoot the ball? Can they space the floor and pull a good rebounding team out to defend them and take them away from them? There's so many variables that go into it. And I'm just, you know, just because somebody's from a power conference like Pittsburgh, I mean, how many times has Jamie Dixon and Pittsburgh disappointed the people filling out the brackets? And again, they do it again. And just because they come from a powerful conference, we think they've got a better team. They may have the better players, some individual players, but we've seen, even though Davidson didn't get the win, we see out of Harvard, we see out of some of these other teams that did get. Wichita State just humiliated Pitt. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And so you've got to get down to the basis of the teams and the matchups. And that's where the bracketologists and the guys that really take the time to go through, they understand that. But, you know, the great thing was, Joe, Michael Lewis, Butler at Bulldogs, got through a tough Bucknell team. So we're happy about that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Always happy when Michael wins. And, you know, we'll be having him coming out, calling in here soon, and we'll get to catch up a little bit on Butler Bulldog basketball. And then later also IU great Kent Benson, you know, going to be interviewed. And I'm excited about the show. You know, I'm excited this week anyways, because it's just it's a great weekend, and always ready to watch sports. And you know, the funny thing is, with the NCAA March Madness app, I'm in Walmart yesterday, and I had someone come up and heard that what was going on in the game, and a guy I didn't know came over and peeked over my shoulder so he could see the game. It's just amazing with technology these days. You're never away from the games. So
no, you're not, and people are right on it with their phones and everything. And you know, Joe, I did want to mention something. I heard that we took a little criticism on the Black and Gold website. It had some people put their opinions, you know, questioning our show and kind of ribbing us a little bit. What's that all about?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, we had some people that were not happy, I guess, with we had a couple of callers call in last week, and they were apparently, you know, one was pro Painter, the other wasn't, but they were just mad because when I put a little notice on there that they should listen, that that I didn't put what time, and they, I guess they didn't care for us a whole lot, but you know, we'll get over it, you know.
Well, considering where Purdue fits in the Big Ten, regardless of anything you talk about, they don't have much room to talk, but they shouldn't hide behind their posts. They should call into the show. They should let us know what they think on the show. So, but we're pretty excited right now. We've got Michael Lewis is coming up, and do we want to go to break first, Joe, or do we want to bring Michael right on?
Yeah, let's go to a quick break, and then we'll bring him on.
Listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean, modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back to the Coach K and Joe Show, and we're joined by Butler assistant coach, and also, I might add, IU great, Michael Lewis. Michael, you got the Bulldogs ready for the third round?
Well, not yet, but fortunately, we got a little bit of time yet before we tip off against Marquette tomorrow night.
Hey, Michael, this is Coach K. I really appreciate you taking the time to come on. For our listeners, I mean, you're right in the middle of getting prepared for your next opponent in Marquette, and I really appreciate you coming on, and we promise to be respectful of your time.
Oh, no, that's fine. You know, we're obviously excited about the matchup, but, you know, like you said, we are in the middle of it. Matter of fact, I'm boarding the bus right now to head down to Rupp Arena for our closed practice. We get about an hour and a half on the floor today, and we'll be talking a lot about Marquette today, but we're excited about the opportunity to continue to play.
And what an opportunity it is. And let's go back and talk a little bit about that Bucknell game. It started out both teams just a little, I don't know, tight, you might call it. Hitting shots was at a premium. Then you guys go on a little bit of a run. You start the second half, they go on a little bit of a run, and then you guys kind of find it. I know I'm simplifying the course of the game, but it seemed like as the game started, both teams just came out a little tight, couldn't hit that deep perimeter shot.
Well, let's not candy coat it. Let's just call it what it is. It was ugly there the first half, you know, and, you know, whether it was tight or good defense or what, we played a football game there the first half, 21-14, and, you know, We felt like as long as we continued to defend the way that we were going to have an opportunity, because I thought we did a great job on the defensive end there in the first half. And, you know, we got a little loose. They made some adjustments in the second half, but we were able to score enough points to hang on. And whether you play picture perfect or you play like we did yesterday at this time of year, you want to find a way to put the W in the column and move on.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of the pundits, the analysts, the big-time analysts were talking about Muscala and that Butler would run into a team that was very physical and they had Williams, and they could do some things that Butler may not be ready for. I kind of looked at it the different way. I thought it was a great matchup. I thought with Smith and Jones and Marshall, I thought you guys matched up really well, and I think in the end – as you look at the true course of the game and the total game itself, you guys just did a great job on Muscala and took him out of the game, especially in the most key moments of the game. When they made the run, Williams was hitting the shots from the short corner, but Muscala could never get on track and kind of help them get over the top. Defensively, you guys just did a great job on him.
Yeah, we did, and you know, the funny thing is we didn't answer a lot of questions about Andrew Smith this week or this whole year, and what he's been able to do when he's played against some of the higher profile post players has been remarkable, and he came out and did a good job of keeping Muscala off balance and our other guys helped appropriately and really made it tough on him the whole game. And then they had a kid step up and make a bunch of shots at Will Ham, and they're a good basketball team. They played extremely hard, but this time of year it's about matchups, and I think you can see that throughout the tournament and the upsets that, you know, the experts call upsets. Sometimes they're really not when you look at the matchup and the way the teams and the personnel on each one of those teams match up with each other and how they can take advantage of it. It was a tough game for us yesterday, but I agree with you. I thought we had some matchups there that we could take advantage of, and I think we certainly did. And now we're just getting ready for Marquette.
Well, you know, the thing about the game with Bucknell, just quickly before we move on, if you'd have said Butler's going to shoot 37%, hit just one or two threes in the game, I don't know what the total was, but not the kind of shooting performance that Butler has been known for. But here's the two things you guys always do. You always defend, and you always hit free throws. And I think that's what makes you guys a dangerous team, makes any team dangerous. I know when I was coaching and you were playing, and I know the same way for all coaches, you may not shoot well every night, but you can defend every night. And if you're a good free throw shooting team, 99% of the time you're going to hit your free throws in your game. So I don't mean 99% free throws, but 99% of the time of in games you're going to be able to hit from the line. And those were the two things that you guys did well again. You hit your free throws and you defended.
Yeah, well, I thought, you know, like I said, I thought we defended really well. And I think we got an opportunity to make a run because even though we didn't shoot it well, when we got down four, Andrew Smith hits a three, Rodney comes down, hits a three in transition, and then, you know, it's bang, bang, you go on a 6-0 run. And we have that capability to go in those quick spurts, and then we were able to defend and like you said, hit free throws, which we haven't done particularly great throughout the year, but yesterday our guys stepped up in line and made them, and we were able to close the game out.
Well, you've got a big game coming up with Marquette. They play hard all the time. They're just like Butler. They've got some athletes. They struggle to get through. In fact, if that game, the three is a game changer. When they put it in, it became a game changer, and it was a game changer for Marquette. They come down, hit three big threes in a row, put themselves right back in the game, and then get a penetration move to the basket and end up winning the game. What are your thoughts on Marquette as you get ready to prepare for them?
Well, I think they're really good. I think they're big, they're long, they're athletic. It's funny that they hit the three threes yesterday to put them back in the game and eventually win. They're not a particularly great shooting team percentage-wise and across the country. I think they're ranked in the 300s in both in attempts and in their three-point percentage. But they very athletic. They have they're big on the interior, not only height wise but just wide. I mean, they're big bodies. They're in the 250 range. They can give us some problems down low with their physicality, and then they really drive the basketball, and they can drive it at four spots and really put a lot of pressure on your defense. So we're going to have to be able to shrink the floor a little bit and make them hit tough contested jump shots.
Well, it is going to be what I call a game of physicality, of toughness, because I think you guys are as tough as anybody in the country. You may not be as talented, you may not be as athletic, but you're as tough as anybody in the country, especially on the boards, and I see that Marquette-Butler matchup looking like that all the way. I think you're right. If you can shrink the floor a little bit and not allow them to get out and get things easily, it's going to make it tough on them. Well, when you look at key matchups, and I don't want to give the scouting report away, but when you look at the key matchups, what's one thing you guys have to do well to move on in the tournament?
Well, we've got to be able to get back in transition. But maybe the biggest key is blocking out and making sure we control, our end off the backboard. We can't allow them to get deep position and get second, third opportunities. This is a team that we play. in November out in Maui. And it sounds like, you know, when you played them already, you should know them. That was 32 games ago. You know, it's been a long year before Thanksgiving. And we feel like, I think that was a time of year that we were still trying to find ourselves. You know, we had just gotten smoked at Xavier, and we're trying to figure out exactly who we were. And I think that was a big game for us as far as finding our identity. And I know Marquette has improved, and they've added a player semester with some eligibility issues in Mayo that now gives them another perimeter threat. So even though we played them, it's a different team that we're facing. I think I'm sure they feel the same way. And it's going to be a battle. But all the games this time of year, you know, should be like that. That's what makes this time of year so special.
Well, Michael, you guys are still alive, and we're excited for you, and I really appreciate you taking the time out to talk with us and the listeners that we have, and there's a lot of Butler Bulldog fans, not only in Indiana, but around the country, so appreciate you coming on, and good luck against Marquette.
Well, I appreciate coaching anytime. I enjoy doing it.
All right, thanks a lot. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit, and then we're going to talk with Kent Benson of IU fame and lore. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
Tomorrow, after the game, I, Jackie Moon, will wrestle a bear.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the show. Again, this is just a great time of year, and you know, we just got done talking with Michael Lewis, assistant coach at Butler. And how awesome is that he took the time, literally on his way to Rupp Arena to practice to get ready for the next matchup against Marquette. And he took the time to talk with the Coach K and Joe Show, and we certainly do appreciate that. And, folks, if you didn't see that Butler game yesterday, that is really what college basketball is all about. You've got Butler, who has been thrown onto the national scene because of their two runner-up, national championship runner-ups in the last few years, just have done a great job. You have Bucknell. Muscala is absolutely considered a big-time player. You got two just outstanding, well-coached teams come together on that court, and they battled. And regardless that neither team shot particularly well, but some of that was maybe the tightness of the first round NCAA tournament. But the other part is the great defense that both teams play. And there were a couple of points in the game where Rodney Clark of Butler comes down, and he was not shooting well in that game if you didn't see it. And he comes down, and he takes a tough three, and they miss it. They end up Bucknell ends up coming down, getting the basket, and Butler's kind of in a hole, 6 or 7 points, 8 points, and then they work themselves back in it defensively. Andrew Smith comes up big, and then late in the game, Rodney Clark shoots kind of a fall-away three that puts the nails in the coffin for Bucknell, and then Butler goes to free throw line and hits free throws down the stretch, and they, you know, Michael said they haven't hit free throws particularly well. They're a good free throw shooting team, probably not as good as the coaching staff wants them to be or thinks they can be, but they're a good shooting team. But a lot of great games yesterday. Even the Memphis game went down to the wire. St. Mary's literally had a chance at the end. I mean, in the last seconds to win that basketball game, couldn't quite get it done. Wichita State made the Missouri Valley Conference look like a power conference for sure, as they just dominated their game. And then my sweetheart pick, St. Louis, big, big win over New Mexico State. Folks, if you haven't seen Jim Cruz's St. Louis Billikens play, this team is built for a tournament run. They're very mature. Age-wise, they're very mature. Physically, they're mature. Mentally, they're mature. They handle the ball well. They shoot the ball well. They're strong on the boards, and they defend. In more than 20 games, they have held their opponents under 60 points. In fact, it's like a 54, 55-point average. This, we're talking Division I college basketball. So it's they're pretty tough. They're a solid team. Louisville, number one rank, they cruised. And then Gonzaga was in a battle all night in their game. So the one seeds, Louisville had an easy go. But Gonzaga, they had a tough road to hoe. And I'm gonna defend Gonzaga a little bit, some people probably get a few listeners will get angry because they don't think Gonzaga should have a one seed. But just remember this. Gonzaga has got their first one seed ever. And there was a lot of pressure on that team going into this game against Southern. And they're hearing it from everybody, every relative, every media outlet. People are questioning their ability. This is a team that won 31 basketball games going in. They're now 32-2. I don't think you can come against them in any way, shape, or form. Maybe you don't think they're the number one seed, but they are, and they won. And in the tournament, it's all about moving on. Joe, what do you think about Gonzaga?
It's what's funny is, you know, used to be they were the Cinderella pick, and here they are, number one seed. And you know, I know that they struggled a little bit yesterday, but you know. For those who say that it has to take an IU or Kentucky or the Blue Bloods to put together a great program, all they got to do is look at Brad Stevens and Mark Few and what they've done. And, I mean, you know, it's quite amazing, you know, that it can be done at those kind of schools.
And I think they do it by thinking out of the box. I mean, most people just follow the same trail. Mark Few, as an assistant and then becoming the head coach – They recruit out of the box. You know, they'll go overseas and they'll bring guys in. Dana Altman, who's at Oregon now, what a tremendous job he did at Creighton. And you know, I didn't pick Oregon to win against Oklahoma State. And the only reason I didn't is because my two sons were telling me just how good Oklahoma State was. And I got to tell you, I am not a big fan of the Big 12. I think it drops off pretty quick once you get past Kansas. And Dana Altman, who's the coach at Oregon, he's been to the tournament numerous times and has always done well with the Creighton teams that he had. And he recruited out of the box at Creighton. He went into Canada, went across borders to bring guys in. So there's two ways to do it. There's the way everybody does it, and then there's a way of thinking out of the box, and that's what Brad Stevens does, Mark Few does, Dana Altman does. Of course, Dana will have a little bit far reach within the country, in the contiguous United States, now that he's at Oregon. But these guys figured it out, Joe, just like you said. There are other ways to build a great program, but you got to be willing to think out of the box.
Well, and they're also very loyal people. Few and Stevens, I'm sure, have had multiple chances to go away, and they know that they've got a good thing going right where they're at right now. And, you know, maybe if the perfect opportunity arises at some point, maybe they jump on it. But right now, they're happy where they're at, and it's good to see, you know, a team have – the coaches have a little loyalty because, you know, a lot of times in situations just like that, the coach hops to a different program, sometimes doesn't work out quite so well, you know?
Yeah, so sometimes following the money – And there's nothing wrong with that, guys, but following the money isn't always the way to go. And just because it's a bigger school, if they've had trouble having success, there might be a reason for that. And you take a Dana Altman, who was at Creighton for a decade. You know, he had so many chances to move on, and he didn't until, he finally took that chance with Oregon. And it's paid off well. You know, Joe, this past weekend I was in Jasper watching some grade school tournaments, travel tournaments, and I ran into Keith Hettinger of Hettinger Beverage, and Dad's Root Beer and Double Cola and all those other things. And it was just interesting talking to him. And you know, he's a big sports guy and also has a great business. And then I was in Jasper yesterday for some other things. I stopped in McAdoo's to watch the Butler game. And right in front of me is the Tell City Pretzels, owned by a friend of ours, Brad Smith. And if people have never had Tell City Pretzels, they are crunchy goodness. And I've got the bag sitting in front of me, Joe, and guess what? There's no pretzels left in it.
And you can get them online, too. We'll give since we've known Brad since we were little kids, we'll give him a free plug. But, yeah, you can order those online, and Brad and Sandy are doing a great job with that. And, also a potato chip brand to be started back up as well, the rumor is.
Well, they're Tell City Pretzels. And, folks, if you may have had a hard pretzel before, but you got to have a Tell City Pretzel. They've been around since 1858. You can go online and get those shipped to you. They're really good. Now, you got to remember, you're going to crunch. It's going to crunch, but it's a unique pretzel and all different flavors and good to eat. Joe, let's go to break, and when we come back, we're going to talk with IU legend, two-time All-American, NCAA undefeated, last team to go undefeated in the NCAA, number one draft pick into the NBA, and he has his opinions, and I know he has his opinions on some of the past leadership at IU, but he is pretty excited about Tom Crean and the IU Hoosiers going forward, and we'll be talking to the big guy, Benny, 6'10", Indiana Hoosier legend, Kent Benson, when we come back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Are you in the market for a new fence? Look no further than the Willis Fence Company. Willis Fence Company offers wood fences, chain link fences, aluminum and iron fences, and polyvinyl fences. Give fence professional Joe a call at 630-2449 for a free estimate today. The Willis Fence Company, a fence for every taste and budget.
We are going to do what we set out to do. We're going to win that tournament.
Yes! I knew it. I knew you were a champion the minute I saw you bowl, Ish.
I'm not going to bowl. You are.
You are such a loser. You're a bona fide schmuck. Look at me!
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show, and pretty excited. Talk about March Madness. We've got March Madness all over the place, but we're pretty excited and honored to be talking to someone. If you're talking about Indiana high school basketball, Indiana university basketball, then you can't talk about anybody that has more of a solid name and contribution to the game than our next guest. And he was a member of the last undefeated national champion, and that's the Indiana Hoosiers. And we have former Mr. Basketball, former two-time All-American, national champion, Kent Benson is here with us on the show. Kent, it's a pleasure to have you on the Coach K and Joe Show.
Thank you, Coach K and Joe. It's great to be with you guys. I'm always honored and appreciate you willing to have me on your show. I'm looking forward to this.
Well, this is a great time of year if you're a basketball fan, if you've played the game, watched the game, coached the game, and it really doesn't matter what level. When you talk about college basketball, it has grown to such a high fever pitch, and obviously you are cemented in the history of college basketball, and especially with Indiana University. And I want to talk to you a little bit about, first of all, about looking at the Hoosiers this year under Coach Tom Crean, not necessarily how they've done or what they've done, but your perspective as someone who's participated at the highest level of college basketball and in the national championship tournament of the NCAA, what do those guys think? How do those guys have to get themselves mentally prepared? What have they got to do to be ready to go through this tournament and accomplish the ultimate goal of winning a national championship?
Well, I have to back up a little bit, Coach, and it's a great question and all. First of all, let me say this. Indiana University was devastated and all by decisions made by administration, president, and athletic director at Indiana University when they hired a guy that destroyed the program. I don't point the fingers at that guy. I point the fingers at those people making the decision to hire him, okay, which set Indiana University back so far that Hoosier fans didn't think that we'd ever get out of it. Well, Coach Crean came in, and with his expertise, knowledge, experience, his coaching staff, his love for the game of basketball, and most importantly, his understanding of Indiana University basketball tradition, and has, over the last 5 years, rebuilt this program back to where it should have been and never should have left, with the integrity and character of today. I'm very happy and proud of that they have done that. I'm sorry that we had to experience that, but beyond that, what has happened is he's developed a team of players with a great mental attitude, great love for the game, great abilities, you know, and put together a number one, bringing Indiana back to a ranking of number one. Now, one of the things that I am a little bit disappointed with this team is you don't know which team's going to show up. These guys are so talented and all, and I think what's happened is they don't really understand the importance of the mental preparation for the game of basketball, night in and night out. That cannot waver, and I've seen that waver too much, and because of the fact that they are so talented, yet, and I go back to one of the sayings that Coach Knight always shared with us. He said this: the mental is to the physical as four is to one. The mental is four times greater than the physical. There's no doubt these guys are physically capable of being national champions. There's no doubt about that. But they've got to come out night in and night out, game in and game out, one game at a time, mentally prepared to play to their potential. And it doesn't matter what team they're playing against, but playing to their potential and within the game plan of Coach Crean's game plan, and doing the things that it takes to be successful. And I don't mean to linger on here, but when you talk about success, you see, successful people do the things that unsuccessful people don't and won't do. And when these kids learn to be mentally prepared every game and be mentally tough, they're going to be great champions, no doubt.
Well, Benny, I'll tell you, you make a great point, and I think sometimes people only look, the fan only looks at the physical talent out there on the floor, but from a coaching standpoint, even though my time was on the high school level and kids that I sent on to play Division I, I have to agree like 1,000% with your assessment and Coach Knight's philosophy about the mental part of the game. That is the thing that determines the champion and determines the guy that can't quite get there or the team that can't quite get there. And we've seen a little bit of that, as you said, the Illinois game, the Wisconsin game, just little bit
Butler.
Of hiccups. Yeah, Butler. Hiccups in the road that you say there's no way that this team with the quickness and the shooting and the defensive ability and a great inside center as you were, power forward maybe is a better word for Zeller, but still, the pieces are there. Can they pull them together mentally and jump from game to game in the short series and the new opponents that they won't be as prepared for? Will they be able to do that? When you went through the run as a junior, I want to start with your junior year because that was a great team and a great run. You're undefeated through the Big Ten. You get into the tournament. Scott May has the injury. The mental part of that team as a junior year was tremendous for you. Or your sophomore year.
That's okay. I was going to make that correction. But, yes, it was my sophomore season. It was Buckner, May, Wilkerson, Abernathy, and Cruz's junior year. Steve Green, John Laskowski, John Cantred, Steve Alfeld, Doug Allens. That was their senior year, okay? Mm-hmm. So in 1975, we went 31 and 0. and got beat in the Mideast Regionals by Kentucky 92-90, one of the toughest games that we had to play. Unfortunately, we ended up two points short, and I largely because of the loss of our great team scorer and great player, Scott May. He broke his arm and was not able to play the last part of the season into the tournaments and the championships. With that, the foundation was set for us to, when we went to that locker room, Coach, we had resolved that that was not going to happen. We, as individuals and as a team, were going to do whatever it took to be successful at improving our season. And there was only one thing that we could do to improve our season, and that was have the mental resolve, the physical discipline to go undefeated. And we believed in our hearts that we could do that if we were willing to do the things that it takes to be successful. Now, with that understanding, when you talk about a team, you talk about being able to bring a group of talented individuals together who will use their God-given talents and abilities, at the same time put aside their own personal agendas for the success of the team. And that's what we were willing to do and able to do. Now, with that said, Coach Knight knew and understand what we could accomplish. There was no doubt about it, because he knew our potential, he knew our abilities, he knew how we would play together as a team. And with that in mind, the 1976 season was one game after another. Now, everyone knew how good we were. They were very prepared. There was no secrets about our team. We just executed our offense, played tough man-to-man defense, and each of us did not care who got the credit, because we knew by playing within the team concept and the game plan that Coach Knight had set before us, we were always physically prepared and we were always mentally prepared. And I think that is so important in athletics today. There's so many distractions that these kids have. For example, and I'll bring this up in relative to our team, compared to this team this year, I really believe that there's been too much reading of the press clippings, you know, about how great they are and all this. You see, back in 76, we didn't read our press clippings. We weren't concerned about that. It doesn't matter what the press and the media think. They have nothing to do with our success or our failure. It didn't matter what they think. What mattered was what each and every one of us thought and what the coaches thought. And based on that, we focused and concentrated and were ready to go out there and do the things that it takes to be successful. Now, again, with that in mind then, Coach was very disciplined, no doubt. He was a tough mentor. He pushed you to what you thought might be beyond your limits, but he knew every individual's potential and what they could accomplish, what they could do on and off the basketball court. And with that, he was willing to push us, and I thank God for that. You see, he didn't demand perfection, and a lot of people think he was a perfectionist. He wasn't a perfectionist. He demanded excellence, and excellence is not perfection. Excellence is being the very best that you can possibly be in everything that you do and every way that you do it, and that's what he got out of us. We were excellent on the court, yet had a perfect season, 32-0.
And it just historically, it continues to hold up over the time of some great teams and great college basketball players. But let me ask you a little further point on what you just said. You know, Coach Knight, and I agree. I think too many people think that Coach Knight was always out for perfection. That wasn't the case. And I know as a IU alum. Obviously didn't play for the Hoosiers, but I used to sneak in that gym, and Coach Knight and his managers that he sent around would catch me every time. But I was persistent, Kent. I went back over and over and over because I wanted to watch practice and learn from what I saw. But it was about excellence. It was about finding what was inside of each person and getting them to bring it out of more than they thought they had and then pull that together as a team. So you had a great leader, a great coaching staff, but let me ask you how important it was to have leadership in that locker room when the tough days of practice, the tough times that you went through in preparation, having great leadership in the locker room. Was that important to that team, both as your junior year and your, especially that undefeated championship year?
Oh, absolutely, Coach. You know, the mental resolve that each one of us had, even though there were times that we all wanted to just walk out of assembly hall and go home and never come back, as tough as it was, what it did is it created a situation. Coach Knight created a situation for us where our practices were so tough, and all he built and established a mental mindset with us that kept us going forward. Challenge after challenge he put in front of us. So we were always prepared for those challenges and situations. We, you know, people talk about the importance of having dreams and goals, and we had dreams and goals, but most importantly, what people got to understand is setting dreams and goals, you also need to set some obstacles in front of you or identify obstacles that will keep you from accomplishing those dreams and goals. As important as that goal setting is, by setting or acknowledging or identifying obstacles that could keep you from attaining those dreams and goals, you're going to be willing to be, or you'll be willing to do the things that it takes to overcome those obstacles, okay, in pursuit of that dream and that goal. And so Coach Knight knew the importance of those challenges, and he would put those challenges before us in practice and prepared us for any challenge that might come up, and we worked through those challenges. We worked through those challenges in preparation and in our quest for our dream and goal of being undefeated and winning a national championship. And with that, we knew that we could accomplish all those things that Coach Knight set before us because he prepared us for the challenges that we would face as we continue to grow and develop as a team. And not only that, on the basketball court, but he also prepared us for life. And that is so vitally important because the game of basketball is a great game. Don't get me wrong, but it's just a game. But the life lessons that are learned from that, if a player will take those as life lessons and apply them to the game of life, which is the greatest game that a person will ever play, and apply those same principles and concepts and preparation that they've learned as an athlete, it will help them throughout the game of life.
You know, Kent, you make such a great point. I mean, we and you know, I'm now 50 years old, and I've seen both people in my life and the people I've coached and friends and family get knocked down, and who's willing to get back up and understand that getting knocked down isn't the end. It's really the next chance to step up, learn from what has happened, and as you said, maybe be a little bit smarter to identify potential obstacles to get where you want to go. I want to go back to your sophomore year just quickly and kind of parallel a little bit. Scott May gets hurt. You guys are on a run. Scott May gets hurt. Give me that first moment when you realize he's out and what your response to that was, if you can remember back to then, when he gets hurt and what your – what your immediate response is, if not verbally, mentally, what you're thinking?
Well, I'd have to say, first of all, we did not know that Scott was hurt to the extent that he was hurt until after the Purdue game. That was the game that he got hurt in. And we knew he was hurt, but we didn't know the how long he would be out, how serious an injury it was. Once we found that out, which was in a matter of a day or so, we found that out. Of course, we took a blow. There's no doubt about it because, you know, our number one scorer, he was a team leader just by example on the court. It was devastating, but yet we stepped back and realized that, hey, we're a team. It's not just one player. We're all capable of being good players and accomplishing a lot of things. We had a great bench. We had John Laskowski coming off the bench who did a great job of stepping in for Scott in that situation. And we had a mental attitude of knowing that no matter what our situation that we face, again, it goes back to a challenge. This was a tremendous challenge for us as individuals and as a team to overcome, and we did that. Unfortunately, we came up two points short against Kentucky, and yet with that, we set the tone for and the foundation for our resolve of being undefeated national champions in 1976.
And really, the reason I brought that back up again was because I wanted our listeners to understand that when Scott May went down, the leading scorer, you guys didn't fold the tent. Although you didn't end up going on and completing the run, it wasn't that your offense went to 40 points. Your team stepped up. You still scored 90 points, which to me shows the resolve of the team to step up and do what it needed to do. It just fell short, and that was really the point I was trying to make. You guys compensated, filled in for your loss, did everything you needed to do, put the points up on the board, and that's why I think it even further set the resolve for the next year, because not only you fell short, but you didn't fall short by not being able to pick up what you had lost, which was your leading score. You were still able to put the points on the board. So you go in to the undefeated season, and you start this amazing run, and you know, you're a junior in all this. I mean, did you ever sit back individually at times and kind of look in the mirror and say, you know, I had this great high school career, this storied high school career in at Newcastle, and I come into Indiana, and look where I am as a sophomore on a team, and look where I am as a junior on a team. You're one of the top players in the country, and you're playing on an undefeated team headed for a national championship. What was your thought process going through there as an individual?
Well, Coach, I would have to say that, number one, I was very blessed growing up. I had parents who truly cared about my success, as all parents do for their children. But I had not only my parents and my family, I had groups of people, you know, coaches, teachers, friends in the community. I had all kinds of people who had a vested interest in me, not just as an athlete, but as a person. And growing up, being a Christian and all, I had a great group of people or a support system around me that encouraged me and prayed for me and also helped keep me level-headed. And I'm not saying this braggingly, okay, but what they did is they helped me to understand that basketball is just a game. I've got God-given talents and abilities, and my life slogan is this: what I am is God's gift to me, and what I make of myself is my gift back to God. And what I tried to do was to utilize the talents and abilities that God had given me, and not for my own glory, but for His, and to give back to those people who had an interest in me, not just as an athlete, like I say, but as a person. They wanted to see me develop as a whole person, and I've been so blessed by that. So what that foundation did for me, you know, I wasn't reading my press clippings, and if I did and I started to get a little big-headed, I had people who cared about me, my mother, my father. I had friends that would bring me back down to earth and say, hey, big boy, you're not as good as you think you are, and it's just merely what other people think of you. And in most cases, the press and the media, they're just opinions anyway. So I had that foundation and understanding. I don't believe today that the kids know and understand that. I don't think they know and understand the importance of don't read your press clippings. There's time for that once the game is, once your game is over, your career is over. You can go back and look at all the great articles and the things that were said about you and everything, and you'll be able to reminisce. I think that's great. Don't get me wrong, and I'm not being holier than thou in any way, shape, or form. But I think it's very important in a athlete's career and their future to understand that foundation And with that, they're going to be able to focus on the task at hand and not glory in their clippings, okay, their press clippings, the things that were written about them. Being very involved in the Fellowship of Christian Athletes on campus, I was able to maintain, along with my teammates, an understanding that we just go out and we play to our potential, we play with poise and do the things that it takes to be successful. We will be successful if we'll listen to Coach Knight and Coach Knight only.
Now, Kent, this is Joe. You know, you mentioned family and the importance of that. And, you know, as I'm sure anyone that follows Indiana University sports knows, you were a legend. But there was also a Benson that was also a legend in another sport at Indiana University, and that's your daughter, Ashley. Volleyball, if not the best, is definitely one of the best volleyball players to ever play for Indiana University. And you know, before we get back to basketball, can you let our audience know just a little bit about what's Ashley doing these days?
Well, first of all, Joe, thank you for asking about Ashley and bringing her up. Ashley was a two-time All-American volleyball player at Indiana University and had great success, but she had a great work ethic. And, again, I tried to instill in all my girls, and I think I have, the same things that I was taught and the things that I learned from the game of basketball and the great coaches that I had growing up, my coach Cecil Tagg in high school, Coach Knight, and I tried to relay that to my girls, and they blessed me by, you know, listening to a lot of, I don't know about the game of volleyball, I just know that it doesn't matter what sport it is, you have to have that mental toughness, and you have to be willing to do the things that it takes to be successful. And Ashley's had all that, and she has worked very hard. Very proud of her. She's accomplished a lot of great things. Right now, she is in Munster, Germany, and playing professional volleyball. She's in her second season of professional volleyball, and she went to Germany to play for a great international coach that is going to teach her and is teaching her how to play the international game. It's a much different game than volleyball here in the States that I understand, and preparing her for her quest for a lifelong dream and goal, and that's to have an opportunity to play in the Olympics. So she's made the United States national team and an adult national team as well. Her quest is to get a tryout with the United States Olympics team.
You know, Kent, to be able to follow your daughter and see that success, and the success of all your kids is a wonderful thing, and I'm sure that they drew on your own success. And not only did you have the great career at Indiana University, two-time All-American, NCAA champion, but you also finish at Indiana, and you're drafted number one by the Milwaukee Bucks in the NBA. I don't know if you had a goal of getting to the NBA or you had a goal of being the number one pick, but you get there. The Bucks draft you number one. And in this day and age of number one draft picks and coming out of college after their freshman year and those type of things, can you tell our listeners a little bit about the difficulty that maybe, you know, how difficult it might be coming out as a senior and still seeing these guys coming out in their freshman year? And I know they're incredibly talented, but just kind of the transition that these young guys make when they come into the NBA.
Well, I have to say that it's times have changed, no doubt, Coach, as you well know. And this is all the things that I've talked about up until now, you know, kind of leads into this. You know, you've got a lot of talented individuals with the time changes. You've got kids that come out that have the mindset of one and done. You know, they're going to have 1 year in college and they're going to be done because they're talented enough to go into the NBA or at least be drafted and you know, get a lot of money and all that. You know, there's been a lot of talk about that, yays and nays, and you know, I kind of understand where these athletes are at mentally, especially in regards to the money. You know, if they play and have a great first year or a great second year and have an opportunity to turn pro and earn all that money or get paid all that money. They haven't earned it yet, but to get paid that money, they're looking at their future in college basketball, possibility of injury. You know, game of basketball is such a physical game, and there's going to be the opportunity for injuries. And if a kid can stay healthy and make it 4 years, that's even better. But I think they're looking at the short end and the possibility of being injured. They need to get the money when they can get it.
Now, and you talk about the money, and just, you know, I'm not going to ask you the specific dollar amounts, but we're talking today in the millions. When you came out and became the number one pick in 78, what was the money like compared to what it's like today?
Well, to kind of give you a perspective of that, what I made an entire season, some of these guys are making in one or two games. And that's you know, that's pretty amazing when you think about it. But you know what? I'm not upset about that. It is what it is, and I was blessed to have the opportunity to play professionally for 12 years and on some good teams. Never won a world championship or anything like that. But you know what? I got to live a dream, and you know, one in a million. And maybe more than one in a million now, but it was a great opportunity for me. I learned a lot about life, and it was a great time. Now again, times have changed. The game has changed. The NBA game has changed. It's not the same game that I played when I was playing in the NBA. So it's but college is really much more exciting, and that's kind of what I'm following. But I'm also following high school basketball, which I have a great love and respect for, and want to help and to give back to those boys and girls who are playing in the high school level. Some of the things that I had an opportunity to have, we want to just extend that to boys and girls today.
Yeah, and as we end up our time with you, and there's never enough time, so there's so many things to talk about with Kent Benson, but tell us a little bit about what you're doing now with the class basketball and the All-Star games, and so people get a real understanding, because you are someone who loves the game and loves young people, and you're trying to give back and help them have opportunities. Can you tell us a little bit about what you've got going right now?
Well, thank you for asking that, Coach. I appreciate that. Well, first of all, my partner, Steven Streming is probably the foremost authority on boys and girls basketball, baseball, and football in the greater Midwest. Steve is a great friend of mine, and we've had an opportunity to look at all the different all-star games out there, and not to be critical of any of them, but we felt that we could do a better job. And it wasn't about us, it was about the kids. And one thing we've always said is when the adults get involved and it's no longer about the kids, then we're going to move on. We're not going to let that happen. We set up the Indiana Class Basketball All-Star Classic and Junior Games, honoring all four classes of basketball, both boys and girls. Now, stepping back a little bit, as you know and your listeners know, Indiana was such a great state for one single class basketball. When they changed that about 14, 15 years ago and brought in class basketball, they left out an important ingredient, and that was an all-star game all-star games that would be able to be participated by all four classes of basketball, both boys and girls. You know, and not knocking or saying anything bad about the Indiana All-Stars, because I was one. I was a Mr. Basketball. I played on the Indiana-Kentucky All-Star team, and I'm very honored and blessed by that and humbled by it all. But with the change, and you know, class basketball is here to stay, and I'm not I was not a fan of class basketball, but I am today, because these kids that we're able to showcase, and that's what we're doing. We're showcasing these kids to college and college coaches, D2, D3, NAIA, junior colleges to help these kids get scholarships where in the smaller schools they're not able to be seen and they don't have the exposure today that we had back when I was playing because coaches would go and sit in gymnasiums and watch kids and recruit kids right out of their own gymnasiums. Well, today that doesn't happen. A lot of it's because of the economy and the cost of travel and what have you. So a lot of these coaches get their kids out of AAU programs and what have you. And if a kid doesn't participate in a successful AAU program, they get overlooked. They're under the radar. And what we have done, and we're coming up on our fifth year now, over Father's Day, June 14th and 15th, I believe is the dates, in Newcastle, Indiana, is having our fifth annual Indiana Class Basketball All-Star Classic and Junior Games. And last year, we implemented the Christian High School Boys Basketball Championships as well, All-Stars. And our goal is through all this, being able to expose these kids to college coaches. And we're able to do that through several means. Number one, a great facility at Newcastle Fieldhouse. It's the largest high school fieldhouse in the world or gymnasium in the world. Seats 10,000 for a high school basketball game. That's where I grew up, sitting right next door to the Indiana High School Basketball Hall of Fame. A great venue for the kids, for the parents, for Indiana high school basketball fans. And we also, one thing I wanted to add is we have great press coverage, but we also have a streaming internet a company called BroadcastSport.net that streams every one of our games online, live, over the internet, and coaches all across the country. In fact, we have a lot of viewers, even internationally, watching these kids play. So it's a great opportunity for these kids to be exposed to coaches, and we've helped a lot of kids get scholarships, and it's been a real blessing.
That's awesome work, and as a former high school coach and how important it was to try to get my players noticed by college coaches, this is just a great venue in a great community and a great gym for this to take place, and we applaud you and your partner for taking that on and giving these kids these opportunities. Kent, before we let you go, I want to ask you one more question. The game of basketball on a college level is very, very physical. Now, you were a big, strong 6'10 bruiser, but when you look at the way it was played in the 70s style and the physicality that's going on, has it gotten too physical? Has it taken away the ability for the center, the forwards, to show some of their skill level? Has it just become who can beat their way to the basket? What are your thoughts on the physicality of the game as we go into this NCAA tournament?
Well, I think that, the era that I played in, we were very physical. Our team was very physical. I was a very physical person, not dirty, I was aggressive and all that, and had to be and wanted to be, and that was just my style of play and our team's play. We were very aggressive. I don't see all these teams. One of the things that I guess kind of bothers me is that Indiana – one of their downfalls is they do not like to play aggressive. They're such a fast break team. They've got such talent and speed and quickness. When they play against a team that is very physical and puts them in a half court game, they don't fare well. And I believe that you have to not only be able to run with them, a team, but you also have to be aggressive. And I don't see that type of aggressiveness coming from Indiana University players, and that may be the makeup of who they are and all, and I'm not knocking that. I just like to see them become more physical, more aggressive when they're playing these teams, and they can overcome a lot of challenges and situations like that just by stepping it up a notch or two with aggressiveness. That's part of the game, and it's not a dirty way of playing the game. It's just another aspect of the game that is very it can accomplish great things if you have the players and the potential of accomplishing great things through the diversity of your players and not being limited or narrowed by just being a one certain type of team, if you follow what I'm saying here, because
sure.
To be a true champion, you've got to be able to face every kind of challenge there is out there. And that's the distinction that we have, is we were able to face whatever challenges were out there. We went up against physical teams. We went up against smaller teams that were faster and quicker. But what we did is we used and played within our potential and within the game plan that Coach Knight had for us, knowing that if we would follow that, we'd have great success.
Well, hopefully the Hoosiers can take some of their experiences with the Butlers and the Wisconsins and be able to mold themselves to handle both the full court and half court basketball as they move through the tournament. Kent Benson, what a wonderful pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so much for spending time on the Coach K and Joe show. It was a pleasure to have you, and thank you for all you're doing for high school age players.
Coach K and Joe and all your listeners, thank you so much for your tremendous support and allowing me the opportunity to share with you all here today. And thank you for being great supporters of Indiana basketball. And I'm talking about the state of Indiana basketball. I'm talking about the high school games. I'm talking about our college teams and the love for the game is Indiana Hoosiers. That's what Indiana basketball is all about, the love of the game. And to all you out there, may the good Lord bless and keep you all. And thank you so much. God bless you.
Thanks for being with us. You just listened to one of the members of the last undefeated national championship teams in the NCAA history, Kent Benson. We're going to go to break. Thank you, and we'll be back on the Coach K and Joe show.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
Quarterback, go ahead.
Me? Or, yeah, shouldn't we, like, learn by dodging balls that are thrown at us, or...
That's what this sack of wrenches is for. If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
What?
Oh! Oh. Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe show.
And we're back to the Coach K and Joe show. And, Coach, all I can say is we're going to have to put that in the Hall of Fame of interviews. I thought it was a great interview by Kent Benson.
Well, yeah, it was. And you know, there'll be some people that make some comments about some of his thoughts on the past IU administration, but honestly, if people put their cream and crimson down for just a little bit, let's face it, we went through a period at IU where we had some leadership that was lacking. We spent millions, they spent millions of dollars in the athletic department on coaches and in both football and basketball, and maybe didn't do their homework, maybe didn't look at what IU stands for and the traditions, and maybe the people at the top gave those administrators too much leeway to make decisions. So I think what Benny was trying to say was that was a dark or clouded period at IU, but he sees it differently now. For those, you know, I've heard some people make some comments that he's been anti-IU. I think he set the record straight. I think he's
he's positive IU. I think he thinks Coach Green and the team and the staff and the athletic department are doing the right things the way Indiana University wants to be known to do those things. So let's face it, college basketball, college sports is about a lot. It's a lot of money, and there's a lot of interest. And you have to keep your thumb on the dial a little bit because it can get away with you pretty quick. But, yeah, Joe, it was a good interview.
Well, I'd like to, you know, if anyone has a comment on, you know, IU's run to a banner number 6 or, you know, about want to make a comment about the Kent Benson interview, our number is 773-897-6325. Again, that's 773-897-6325. Or you can text me at 812-630-2449. Or if you don't want to text a Purdue guy, Coach K, what's your text? What's your number?
They can text me at 812-480-9449. And speaking of some comments, Joe, I've got a few that I'd like to run through here real quick, and you're more than welcome to put your 1.5 cents. I won't even give you credit for 2 cents, 1.5 cents in. So I got a text from Cindy, and she says, well, what about Kentucky? I really don't know.
Hey, I've got a comment for that, okay? Can you hear that? Ready?
A quick pass to half court and call a quick timeout so they can get in better shooting range.
There's the pass to Leitner. Puts it up. Yes!
I know.
Ouch.
That's the thing that Kentucky people hate to hear, but, you know, misery loves company, and, you know, I've got to put those IU Kentucky people along with me right now, being a Purdue fan, you know. But thought I'd
Well, I would say that the Kentucky fans fell into the Chicago Cub file this year. Let's wait till next year because, Cindy, I'll tell you, the loss at Robert Morris, as amazing as it was, it wasn't unexpected because I've said all year that Kentucky lacked toughness and they lacked leadership on the floor. And you can go back to other shows and check it out. I've said it all year. I think Coach Calipari and his staff, it wasn't necessarily that they didn't recruit good players or great players. They didn't mix them very well this year. And on the run to the championship last year, Cindy, I would tell you that they had some leadership on the floor. It wasn't just Coach Calipari and his staff. They had some leadership on the floor, both in selfless players, but in players that were able to keep the rest of the guys moving in the right direction. They didn't have that this year. Now, they have a tremendous recruiting class coming in. They just found out they've got the Randall kid. He's 6'8", 6'9", 240 pounds coming in. He's one of the top-ranked kids in the country. So they've got a great shot, but you got to have a good mix. You need some leadership on the floor, and that loss at Robert Morris will be one that will not be forgotten, especially in that gym. I've been in that, Joe, I've been in that Robert Morris campus and that gym several times. In fact, Coach Calipari was there many times, too, when he would visit the five-star camp as an assistant and as a head coach, and I'll bet he never thought he would be in there coaching a game against Robert Morris with the giant Kentucky getting beat in the cracker box of 3,500 students.
Well, you know, Kentucky also had the right mix with some of those younger classes that they've had in the past because they had, like last week year, they had Patterson, they had his maturity and et cetera. And this year I just don't think they had that. And is it going to be there next year? I don't know. You know, we talk about Kentucky's numbers. Well, we talk about IU being oversigned. Well, Kentucky right now, you know, they're not sure who's going to go pro on that team. I mean, and they're already one over. You know, they have the they have all these top 20 kids, and then they have a kid named Willis that decommitted from Purdue to go to Kentucky. And I don't see the numbers adding up real good for him right now. And also, they're still recruiting a couple of other kids that are top 10. You know, so
well, you know, he may just take some scholarships away from some guys that weren't willing to do what they were supposed to do. I do think, and Kentucky listeners, you know, we both know Brian McAtee, and Brian McAtee's a heavy Kentucky guy, but I would say that Nerland Knowles probably could go pro if he recovers from his injury. I don't see him gaining anything by coming back to college, especially since he's had one injury, and I'd hate to see him re-injure that in college. But you're right, they have got a ton of guys coming in, so we'll have to see how the master gambler, card player, Coach Calipari does that. Got another text here. It says, this is from Alan, why do you defend Gonzaga? They should not be seeded number one. Well, they are number one seed, and they won. And in the tournament, it's about winning and advancing. It's not about anything else. It's about winning and advancing. I mean, there are probably people who say Colorado State shouldn't have been in the tournament. There's probably people that never thought there was any way that New Mexico State, a three seed, was going to lose the basketball game last night. I mean, you've got to look at things in terms of you can't just say they shouldn't be or they should be, or they're the number one seed. The committee picked them as the number one seed. Who would have thought that Oregon should be a number 12 seed? I mean, it doesn't matter. The bottom line is they played a great season. They beat everybody down the stretch, and I mean down the stretch that they needed to beat. They're the number one seed, and they won. And Joe, I mean, don't you agree? It's win in advance, and that's all it is.
Yeah, and, you know, some people have criticized their schedule. Well, you know, I think they play a pretty decent out-of-conference schedule, but there's just nothing they can do about their conference. I mean, you know, I mean, it is what it is, and as long as they run the table on there, I mean, I don't see any reason why they shouldn't have been a number one seed. And, you know, yeah, you know, it doesn't matter if you win by one or win by 100. How many wins does it count for? One?
I mean, should Memphis have been a six seed? I mean, their conference was horrible. They take St. Mary's on a play-in, basically, team, and they're lucky to move forward, but they're moving forward. So, you know, we got a bunch of games coming up today. Duke will be playing Albany here soon. Wisconsin's going to be starting a little bit later than that. I can't wait to watch that. But I'm going to defend Gonzaga because they won the game. They're number one seed, and they won the game. And that's all that matters right now. Got another one here from Scott. He says, what do you think about the Michigan-VCU matchup? I think it's going to be a great matchup. You know, Michigan's got some ball handling. They've got some shooters. They can defend decently on the perimeter. They struggle on the inside game. But VCU brings something that kind of mirrors Michigan, except much more intensity on defense. What's going to be interesting is if Michigan can control the basketball as far as turnovers are concerned. If VCU can force them into turnovers or quick, ill-advised shots, VCU's going to be right in the game and have a great opportunity to win. I've told you before, I'm not a big Michigan fan. I think Coach Beilein's an outstanding coach. I just don't think he built this team to run through the tournament. They couldn't run through the Big Ten, and they couldn't run through the Big Ten tournament, and I struggle with them being able to run into the Final Four because I think they lack critical pieces. And one thing I've always said all year, too, is that when Michigan feels a little pressure, instead of finding a way to move the basketball, reverse it from side to side, and find an easy shot in a two-man game or ball reversal kick inside, they end up pushing their shots out 5 feet further from the basket and hoping they can score from there. And Trey Burke did not impress in the first outing. I know he's Sports Illustrated Player of the Year and everything, but he did not impress. VCU plays hard. They play smart. And if they can create turnovers or ill-advised shots, they can win that game. Now, Michigan has a great opportunity because they have some athletic ability that can hold up against the pressure of VCU. What do you think, Joe?
I love watching VCU play. I mean, their style of play is just unbelievable. I mean, the way they get after it, you know, I think their coach is smart. He's smart, you know. But I have a couple of comments as well. One, I guess, was Michael Lewis, and I didn't get it in time. A guy named Jim Skillman asks if Michael's been contacted by Ball State yet about their head coaching position. I guess we can get an answer on that after the season's over. Michael's got other things to worry about right now. So winning an NCAA championship's high on his priority list right now.
Ball State is looking, and that created a little bit of a problem because one of their better recruits has now reopened his recruiting or his search for a college. He may not attend Ball State, so can maybe talk about that towards the end of the show. I've got one more question here I want to hit. John says, what do you mean by teams built for the tourney run? That's a great question. I know I made the comment before about being built for a tourney run. And, you know, everybody looks at it differently. But I think when you get into the NCAA tournament, you've got to be physical. You've got to be able to rebound and defend. And I know that sounds simple, but it's not that simple. And I think that's why Butler has had success the last 4 or 5 years when they get in the tournament is because they defend well and they rebound well. They have guys that can do those things. And if you can do those things, that gives you the first leg up. The second thing is you have to be able to adjust to the style of play. You know, I really like Wisconsin because they can control the tempo of the game. My biggest concern for Wisconsin, when somebody is able to get them into a quicker game, a more up-and-down game, do they have some of the people on the perimeter to handle that? They've got the bigs. They've got the rebounders. They can defend, but they do a great job of controlling the tempo. The key is if they get out of that game. So your team has to be able to do several things on the floor. You can't just be a great shooting team. You got to be a good shooting team. You can't be just a great dribble penetration team. You need to be able to do that, but you need to be able to break down the defense. You have to have an offense that can move the basketball, break down the defense, and get the easy shot. So you got to be able to defend. You got to be able to rebound, and you got to be able to move the ball and break down the defense. And then the fourth thing I think you got to do is be able to shoot free throws. How many games, Joe, come down to making free throws, to hitting free throws? And it's, you may not even shoot well. Butler did not shoot well. They shot like 31% in their game against Bucknell. But they were able to hit free throws down the stretch. On the other side, Davidson couldn't hit free throws down the stretch. And they end up losing the basketball game. Great team for their level, their size of school and their level of conference. Well-schooled, well-coached, but they had to hit the free throws down the stretch. Now, that brings me to Michigan. In the Big Ten tournament, or before the Big Ten tournament, Michigan played IU at home. Joe, what didn't they do down the stretch that cost them the game against IU?
I think they missed a couple of front ends of one-on-ones. And
absolutely. Critical key players for them missed them. So that's what I'm talking about, having a team that's built for the tournament. You got to be physical. You got to rebound. And you'll hear a lot of the coaches talk about, you know, we've got to be able to hit shots because if we don't, that defense is going to be able to pack down and it's going to be tough for on us on the offensive end because they're such a good rebounding team. So I would tell you this, John, you want to be able to hit those shots and pull those types of teams out. Otherwise, they're going to dominate the paint, they're going to dominate the boards, and it's going to be tough to win. So you got to be built for the tournament run, and it's not just having the best athletes. You got to be physically adept, and you got to be able to rebound. You got to be able to defend. You got to be able to hit free throws, and you got to be able to break down defenses. I think IU can do those things. I worry a little bit about their rebounding, but I think IU can do those things if they can stay tough mentally and they don't substitute themselves out of the game. Yes, I said it, substitute themselves out of the game.
Now, I've got a couple here for you as well. But the first one's for me, of course. You were just saying physical. How do you think IU's physical enough to do it? And then also, let me go ahead and give you this other one right real fast. Also, I've got another one that came in I want to read as well. I'm going to give you all three, and then you can comment on them, okay? That was the first one. That was for me. And from Jared. Jared says he was too young to see Kent Benson play. He'd like for you to give him a comparison of Kent Benson to Cody Zeller. And then we have from Josh Ballmer. He's the if you remember, he won the Ultimate IU fan contest earlier in the year, and it says, just wanted to say that the campus is buzzing right now. Candy stripes are everywhere. It is a great environment here. If we win it all, I promise I will call in that Friday and tell you what campus was like the following day. Go Hoosiers. So if you want to answer those questions.
Okay, let's talk about IU. Are they physical enough? It depends on the foul trouble. If we need Zeller on the floor to be physical, guess who else we need to have on the floor? A lot of people may not realize. We need Watford on the floor, and we need him to be physical. You know, some games, Watford, and if Jim Skillman's listening, he'd probably agree with this. Some games, Watford shows up, and he uses that 6'9 frame, and he does the job that he needs to do, and he's long-armed, and he gives us that extra guy that makes it tough on the defense, and he gives us that extra guy that helps us so much on the boards. But other times, he just doesn't show up mentally, and that really hurts the Hoosiers, because then we have to rely on Zeller so much. The third person that makes IU very physical is Victor Oladipo. Not because he's so tall, but because he is very strong and he's very quick. He has tremendous quickness and a real understanding, an innate ability to get to the ball quickly. How many times have we seen a missed shot by IU end up back in the basket by Victor Oladipo because he's so quick off his feet, his hands are so quick to the ball, he puts it back in. Against Michigan, we shot that little air ball. I think it was Watford shot a little air ball from the baseline late in the game. Victor jumps out of nowhere and puts it back in. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. And if Zeller is out of foul trouble and is on the floor, he's tough. He's physically tough, but he moves well. And that's what makes IU have a great opportunity to go deeper into this tournament. I think that Wisconsin has a lot of that, but I worry a little bit about Wisconsin's quickness and their guard play at times. I just worry about whether they can handle making some adjustments if they're not controlling the tempo of the game throughout and maybe not hitting the perimeter shots by their bigs. So that's why I think IU's physical enough to do this, and they can go seven guys. And on some really good days, Will Sheehy does a nice job for us on the boards as well. But Watford's critical in this whole thing. Oladipo, Zeller staying out of foul trouble, and Watford's critical. And we can't substitute guys out of the game when they're on a roll and allow the other team to make their run. Benson and Zeller. I saw Kent Benson play many years. And I'm sure many of our listeners did too. He was a big, strong, fundamental player. He had a nice little half hook. I call it a half hook. It wasn't a true sky hook. It was a half hook. He was strong around the basket. I don't think he is as mobile as Cody Zeller. I think they're similar in their shooting ability right now on the perimeter. That's my opinion. He was a very good free throw shooter. Cody Zeller's a very good free throw shooter. They really did a good job of anchoring the IU offense and defense. Both of them do. I think Zeller's got a bigger upside than Benson did in the NBA. I think Zeller's got a little more quickness. His footwork's better. His moves to the basket even if they're not as quick as you think, they appear quicker because he takes big steps when he goes to the basket. I thought Kent, and this is nothing against him, he plotted a little bit more, and that was okay in the game at that time. But I have a feeling that if Kent Benson played today and worked through high school and college, his skills would be a little bit different. His ability to take it to the basket would be a little bit different. I think that Cody Zeller plays in a much more physical time. I think Kent Benson could show his skills a little bit more because you weren't allowed to just hang on people and beat on people underneath like you can today. And we probably haven't seen some of the skills that Zeller will bring on the NBA level when it's time. I would say this for Cody. He needs to improve his outside shot. He really, really does. And hopefully he will get that done going forward. But that doesn't matter today. Today they just need to go out and play good basketball. But Benson and Zeller, both great centers for IU. How can you say anything about Benson? Two-time All-American, 63-1 during his sophomore and junior season. Carried a team that really didn't have much talent with it as a senior. And ended up the number one pick in the NBA. And I know there are people right now saying, yeah, but Coach K, he didn't do anything in the NBA. Hey, look up his stats. He wasn't a great, great player, but he averaged almost 10 points a game. Did you know that? He averaged almost seven rebounds a game. Did you know that? He shot 75% from the line. Did you know that? So maybe he didn't post 20 points a game and those types of things, but he had a decade-long career in the NBA, and he put up numbers that at least recognizable contributions to the teams he played on. I got to give him a lot of credit. Anytime you can last 10 years in a league, you must be doing something right. So we're going to get ready to go to break here. When we come back, we'll talk with Kurt Gucksel. We'll break down some brackets. We'll talk about the games today and some of the mishaps of yesterday. Gosh darn it, New Mexico. What are you doing under Steve Alford's watch? But we'll be back. We'll join the rant with Kurt Gucksel. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams. Natural-looking fillings. Crowns. Bridges and more. With convenient hours and a clean, modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
I gotta work on my game.
No. Don't think of it as work. The whole point is just to enjoy yourself.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show, and we move into our section known as the rant. And sometimes it gets tough, and sometimes it's just an easy, smooth flow. But as always, we've got Kurt Gucksel. And Kurt, you missed us last week, and we sure missed you.
Well, thanks a lot. I missed being on the show, but what a great 2 days this is going to be. Yesterday and today, already locked down with some Duke and Albany right now, so let the rest of the day progress here.
Kurt, what was your biggest disappointments in the games last? You know, yesterday I mentioned New Mexico and a couple others, but what were some of your disappointments in performances and prep teams being prepared? Which ones really bothered you?
Well, you got to look at that New Mexico game. They were a 3 seed. Some people were touting them as a possible number 1 seed the way they went through their conference, the way they went through their conference tournament. And in the landscape of basketball, a team, you know, a Harvard team, although may not be the Harvard of years past with Amaker now doing a pretty good job, but that's just stunning how something like that can happen. I mean, and I heard you talking with Kent Benson about the mental part of the game, and I'm sure that had to play a big factor in a situation like that. I mean, as a coach, don't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. And I thought Kent made another important point. A lot of times people don't think about the obstacles in their way that could cause them some issues or problems. And I don't know anything specific for New Mexico as far as obstacles in their way, but I start to wonder about that conference. And I start to wonder, you know, I mentioned earlier, Kurt, that the conference doesn't decide on your success in the NCAA tournament. Your team does, the makeup of your team. Are you built to make a tourney run? Do you have the leadership? Are you mentally tough enough? And you look at a guy like Steve Alford, and guys, we love Steve Alford. He's one of the greatest Hoosiers ever. But he seems to have problems with his teams when they get in the NCAA tournament. And, again, here's a guy with tremendous experience, grew up in a coaching family, does a very good job as a coach. But tournament time, his teams just they don't seem to have what it takes to move on.
Yeah, I agree. And, again, if you knew the answer to that question, I'm sure Steve would really like for you to pass it along. And, you know, there's several other programs like that. In Missouri, they're another one. You know, they've got a lot to play for. They were bounced last year by, I think, Norfolk State. Frank Hayes, you think they'd come out and play, but they got tagged right from the beginning in their ball game last night against Colorado State, who's pretty good, a team that was set up by Tim Miles and now is in Nebraska. But, you know, you just shake your head on, as a fan, and you fill out those brackets, you're going, I like this team, I like that team. But then you sit back and go, on second thought, why did I pick that? Why did I think that that team was going to come to play after some of the things that they did during the regular season? Some of these are just head shakers.
Yeah, and you know, look at Pittsburgh. How many times are we going to get excited about Pittsburgh and they're just going to fall flat on their face? I mean, does the Big East get way too much credit? I don't know.
Well,
and what's Villanova? I mean, Jamie Dixon has to be just looking. What happened? Nothing against the NBC, nothing against Wichita State or anybody else out of that conference. But come on, you can't play any better than that.
Well, Pitt's not any good. I mean, I've watched them a lot, and I don't know why. I took Wichita State all the way in that one. And Dixon's kind of let that thing slide a little bit, and now they're kind of in limbo with that with their conference affiliation because they're now going to the ACC. And look for Jamie Dixon to get out of there because it doesn't look like they got players, and they're going to the ACC. If you thought the Big East was tough, the ACC is going to be equally as tough, but not a fan of Pitt, not a fan of Pitt. And I think Dixon's a pretty decent coach, but sometimes you're at the mercy of how your guys play, and if you're not any good to begin with those players, it could be for a tough afternoon. Wichita State seemed like they had something to prove and something that they wanted to play for.
Hey, guys. First of all, I wanted to let you know that Duke has had two fouls called on him already, so I'm sure the other Coach K is livid. But also, we have a caller calling in, a good friend of ours, Jim Skillman, wants to call in and talk IU hoops. And, Jim, you're live. You there,
hey,
Jim?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hello, Jimmy Skillman.
How are you?
What do you got for us, big guy?
Well, I just comment on IU and the comment. You know, you guys wanted some comments this morning, but you know, Kenny, how easy is IU to scout against? Give me a little insight on that.
Well, I mean, to break it down would take us a lot more time than we have, but I think that it's pretty clear that one thing they don't do very well is break the other team down defensively. And so the one thing that teams that beat them did was they took away their transition game after made baskets or off some of the misses. They didn't let Zeller get out for easy baskets. They took that away. IU will not reverse the ball on a consistent basis, so they wait for the dribble penetration. They did a good job. Yogi Ferrell early in the year was getting away with the penetration and the kickouts to Jordy Halls on the three-point line on the baseline. They're not getting that anymore. That's been eliminated. But the biggest glaring thing to me, Jim, is that when we do get on a roll, when IU does get on a roll, they substitute and take the guys out that are playing well. And that's one of the big issues for me. But I think one of the things that IU just does not do a very good job of, and and I'm sorry if I'm making somebody mad out there, we don't do a good job of making the other team play good defense throughout the game. We don't break them down. We just don't do it.
Yeah, I agree. And if they're not up and down the floor, they're just, you know, if they get into a half-court game, they're in trouble, in my opinion.
Well, and Wisconsin has shown us that, and,
right.
And I know we're not going to run into Wisconsin's every time, and we're probably not going to have issues to start this game. But you know, Kurt, you can jump in on this. I think Watford's critical for IU to make a run through this tournament. Jordy Hulls needs to hit shots, yes, but Watford has to show up and be ready to play.
Yeah, I think he's done a pretty good job, but the more active he is, the better they are, because he can do things inside and outside. So, yeah, I think he's a big key, and I think a lot of people would think that would be the case with Watford. He's got to come to play every game in this tournament.
Yeah, and every minute, Kurt. I mean, he's got to be in there. He's got to be after it every minute. I mean, he looks like he goes asleep, you know, halfway through the game, and then when he comes in at the end, he's ready to throw up some threes, but he's got to show up every minute of every game.
Right.
You know, guys, let me ask you a question. You know, early in the year we were pressing up until 30 seconds left with 30-point leads. I thought we were doing that to prepare to put pressure on teams as we went through. Did we find out that maybe we weren't capable of pressuring teams full court for a good portion of the game, or were we just beating up on teams to influence voters to think that IU was a great team?
Well, I think the latter might be in order there. You know, I don't know. It's just hard to imagine that we wouldn't want to be pressed. You know, and they always say that teams that like to press don't necessarily want to be pressed themselves. I don't know. That's a good question, Kenny. What concerns me about the Hoosiers is the X's and O's, and I've talked to you about this off the air. You know, Brad Stevens is very successful coming out of timeouts and scoring. IU's not. And when they set up plays, you know, after timeouts, and correct me if I'm wrong, they're not very successful. And going down the stretch, I think that's where it matters.
Well, Kurt, what do you think about that? What do you think the Hoosiers, are they, when they come out of timeout, do you expect to see something from them, or are they just trying to get the ball in?
Yeah, a lot of times it looks like they're just trying to get the ball in. I know several times they made a point of it during the broadcast. They throw the ball on the baseline out-of-bounds play to the ball side corner. Then you're in a kind of a semi-trap with the sideline and the end line. Look for them in this tournament when people are not so familiar with your stuff on some of these out-of-bounds plays to get more easy baskets, because, again, you can steal points by getting these easy baskets on inbounds plays. But, I mean, so far, you guys are right. I mean, it just seems like they don't do much out of those out-of-bounds situations.
Well, and I'll be tough about it, but yeah, I'm pretty familiar with Tim Buckley as well, and gosh, we're on the air, so you'll have to repeat it. But when you look at the assistants on the sideline, it's not like I think he's getting a lot of good ideas from the bench, and boy, that'll make people mad too. I hope some of my buddies aren't listening out there from Ball State, but you know, it's like when Coach Knight always looked down the bench and saw Dale Brown on the other bench. I hope we're not running into that. We've got great talent, but we're not doing anything with it in the X's and O's. That's getting kind of critical. Sorry, guys. I've never
well,
been.
Well, I think I still think the Hoosiers have the capability of making a run in this tournament. I do worry. I think Watford has to show up, and I know there are others saying, "Oh, he's not as critical." I really do think that we are a much better team and much more difficult to guard, much more difficult to block out when he's ready to play basketball. You know, a lot of people say, you know, Jordy Hulls needs to hit shots. I think Jordy Hulls will hit shots. But I do believe we got to keep Cody Zeller involved in the game. You know, there's two trains of thought here. Some people think we're not keeping him in the game, and others think he disappears. I don't think he disappears. I think we don't actively keep him involved in the game. And because of the position he plays, he doesn't bring the ball down. He doesn't get the first pass. He needs to be initiated into the offense by our perimeter people getting him the basketball. Whether he shoots it or not, it doesn't matter. He helps break down the defense. He helps to force the defense to make decisions. He opens up the perimeter game. He gives us opportunities to get second shots, but he's got to stay involved in the basketball game.
And he's a good passer, Kenny. I mean, that's why he's got to have that ball as much as possible. So, but, again, I think they have to run the court, you know, up and down the court to be real effective.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. Guys, while we're talking, let's jump over to a team that I like, and I don't know how deep they can go, but we all are familiar with Coach Jim Cruz. He came in as the associate head coach to work with Majerus. Coach Majerus, just one of the great coaches in basketball, great personalities. At Ball State, Jim at one point passes away, and Jim takes over the – Coach Cruz takes over the – the team. I always knew Jim Cruz could coach. Maybe U of E couldn't always get the best recruits, but I thought he did a great job there. He went to no man's land at Army for a while, but he comes out, he's got a team that, when I say veterans, these guys are veterans. They're older, they're more mature, they're more physical than I think most people ever thought they were when they first saw them play. They can shoot, they can run the floor, and boy, can they defend.
I agree, and if you've watched Majerus over the years, I mean, and then Cruz steps in and takes him to, you know, kind of keeps him in that same line of thinking, to not just play like Rick would like you to play, you know. And if he's tugging at my heartstrings on this team. I hope the heck they can go all the way down the line here, but they're going to run into, I think, Miami, if my bracket memory is correct, and that'll be a tough one, but. But, gosh, how can you not root for St. Louis?
Kurt, any thoughts on St. Louis?
Oh, I think they're really good. Again, and he's not complicating everything. He's getting the pulse of those guys and how they played in the past, and they're just really good. They got a little bit of everything. They've got, a good point guard. They've got some bigger kids, some foreign guys that Majerus always likes to go get, and Cruz just lets them, you know, not do what they want, but kind of, gets the pulse of how they want to play and then, you know, throw some of the things that he was always good with the motion offense and stuff like that. And they're really tough to play against. I mean, anytime you go and beat Butler three times, I mean, that's
right.
All you need to know about St. Louis.
I agree.
Hey, Jimmy.
Can we switch gears here? Can I ask you a question, Kenny? Have you guys had Michael Lewis on today? Because I'm traveling.
Yeah, we had him on earlier. Why weren't you listening to the show?
I was traveling, and I've got another call coming in here. So, hey, did you ask him about Ball State? Is he going to get a look by the Ball Staters up there, a possible coaching position?
You know, right now the only focus, Michael was boarding the bus to head to practice at Rupp Arena, and, we were very fortunate he wanted to call in and talk with us. We did not get into the Ball State discussion. I did see, though, where Pike's Xavier Turner, who was going to go to Ball State, is now reopening his recruitment based on the change at Ball State and is going to relook at whether he is going to attend Ball State or not.
Well, my hope was that Michael would get a shot at that school. That'd be a great stepping stone for him, I think.
Don't you think, though, that with his time at Butler – whether it be another year or two, or don't you think some opportunities might be open up that are even better than Ball State?
Yeah, maybe. I just think with his ability, I think, to recruit in the Indiana area, he could get a good enough bunch of players to go after that MAC championship, and that might be an easy way to the NCAA tournament.
Well, the guy that they're going to really go after on that Butler staff is going to be Mac Graves. Because he's been running up to a few jobs. And if you're going to sit by Brad Stevens for that many years and played at Butler, and, I mean, they'd be a fool not to talk to him. Also, name getting a lot of run skill. He's Dane 5, too.
I never thought about Dane, but you're right on Matthew Graves. And, so he may be the front runner as well. I agree.
You know, the name of the game at Ball State, and Jimmy, I'm sure you agree with this, and Kurt, you got to recruit. And it's just it's tough. You've got Notre Dame and IU and IUPUI and Purdue, and I know Purdue hadn't played well. Valparaiso, I mean, you've got a lot of schools You've got Evansville. You've got a lot of schools right in this area pulling at these players. And with the kids going one and done, the major schools are going after maybe a level of kid that would have ended up mid-major. They end up coming up a step because of the one and dones. It's just a tough situation. They got a great facility. They got a great school.
Yeah.
They're located in a central part of the state, right off set. I mean, it looks like it should be a winner. Jimmy, I mean, you're a Ball State guy. Well, what's the problem up there?
Well, I'm a Ball State guy only because of my kids. But the problem was when they brought Ronnie Thompson in, Kenny and Goop, when they brought Ronnie Thompson in, he took what was a decent program. And if you look back in the history, Ray McCallum, who's done okay at Detroit, I mean, he got beat this year, but some of those guys, they didn't necessarily, I don't want to say he didn't play by the rules, but they kind of got
that's hard to believe that McCallum wouldn't play by the rules.
I know, but the fringe, they got those fringe players that were pretty good and let them play, and they may not have been able to get to another school. And then Buckley came in after that, and, you know, he won with Ray's kids. If you go back and look at the lineups, he won with those kids. He was lucky to get the Stovall kid from Lafayette. He wouldn't have got him had Painter been the coach up at Purdue. So he got lucky to get one of those. The last big game they ever won was against Xavier back in 2004, I believe. And that's the last game they won. And then they couldn't recruit after that. So I think from Buckley on, and then Ronnie Thompson came in and totally destroyed the program. I mean, he brought thugs in. I have no respect for that guy at all. You know, but that's the way it was. And then you bring in this Billy Taylor to try to clean things up. Well, you know, he wasn't a real motivator, so to speak. So I think they've got, you know, it starts at the top at Ball State. I'm talking, you know, president on down. You know, they've got to support that, and they've tried to become more of a football school than a basketball school, if you've seen what's going on up there. So, you know, now we've got the new athletic director from Notre Dame. I think things will change. They tell Andy, who's involved with the CVC up there, they tell them that money's not an object in getting a new coach. So they're gonna try to hire somebody that's pretty high-powered.
Well, Jim, thanks for calling in. I got to go to a break, and when we come back, we'll finish up the rant with Kurt Gooksell. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Are you in the market for a new fence? Look no further than the Willis Fence Company. Willis Fence Company offers wood fences, chain link fences, aluminum and iron fences, and polyvinyl fences. Give fence professional Joe a call at 630-2449 for a free estimate today. The Willis Fence Company, a fence for every taste and budget.
We are going to do what we set out to do. We're going to win that tournament.
Yes! I knew it. I knew you were a champion the minute I saw you bowl, Ish.
I'm not going to bowl. You are.
You are such a loser. You're a bona fide schmuck. Look at me!
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Okay, we're back on the show, and we've got Kurt Gooksell with us. We're in the last portion of our rant. And, Kurt, let's look at some of the games that are going to be played today and just get some of your thoughts on them. I'm not even going to talk about Duke and Albany, which is going on right now. I don't know what the score is, but I don't even think that's a game to get too nervous about. We'll have a game coming up. We'll have a game coming up later involving Wisconsin, and wanted to get your thoughts on Wisconsin. Can they make a deep run? And actually, it started right now. So,
yeah.
Can they make a deep run in this tournament or not?
Wisconsin's winning 6-5 early. I think
yes.
They can because they're one of those teams they can lock you up defensively because they're physical. It's a matter of will, you know, some of the officiating, let them do what they want to do. But I think when you go play against the marquee teams, the Indianas, the Louisvilles, even the Michigan to a certain extent, you've got to score. You look at some of these teams like last night, New Mexico, the Davidson-Marquette deal. Some of those teams that you thought would win that got beat, they were in the 50s. I mean, you got to get up and go, especially if those other teams play good defense too, which Louisville does, Indiana does to a certain extent. I mean, I like Wisconsin. I like them especially in this game against Ole Miss because they're all over the place, Ole Miss is. They got that crazy Henderson dude, and you never know what you're going to get out of them. And they won that SEC tournament and see how they come back and handle their success against a good team like Wisconsin who's going to be steady. But to answer your question, I think they can make a run, but at the end, I don't think they've got enough offense to do it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I love Bo Ryan and how he puts a team together, and I love their makeup, but I just, there's something about it. I just don't know if they have enough offense in the end as well. Cincinnati and Creighton, does Creighton continue the MVC success, or is Cincinnati one of those teams that, you know, they don't think they're too good, they're going to get out there and give their best?
Oh, I like Creighton all the way in this one. I like McDermott. I like the way they're set up. They've got a big kid inside, a foreign kid inside too. Cincinnati, they're like Pittsburgh. They're all over the place, and they have not impressed me at all. I like Creighton in that one.
Kansas State and LaSalle.
Kansas State, I like the Wildcats. They've got two or three guys that are really, really good. LaSalle, they come off the playing game, if you will, and I think Kansas State's got too much for them.
But LaSalle was a pretty good team this year.
Oh, I know. But they were pretty good. A good team.
Conference, a couple teams from that conference are in the tournament. One thing that I worry about Kent State, and I hope I'm wrong because I like Bruce Weber and I like his teams, and I know that things didn't fare all the way at Illinois the way they should have. I just worry sometimes that Bruce's teams, as good as they defend you, they can be soft at times, and that worries me. I wasn't a big Big 12 backer, but I do have to take Kansas State in this because I just think that overall their personnel is going to be too much. Ohio State, Iona, I saw Iona play. Ohio State's going to win this game. With New Mexico getting beat, Kurt, if you've had a chance to look at that bracket with New Mexico getting beat, Ohio State, literally, this opens up. It doesn't make it an automatic, but it sure makes it a little easier getting to that Final Four.
Well, and I had them in my Final Four anyway, so that's. I mean, I like Ohio State, and I think they can get on a little bit of a roll. They've got a little bit of everything as far as point guard and craft. Deshaun Thomas, an established scorer, they'll be able to guard you too. So, I mean. And they went through the Big Ten rigors. I mean, that's one thing. I mean, I gotta like about Indiana and some of those other Big Ten teams. You know, and like even like Michigan. I mean, they when they get away from some of that rugged style of play and get up and down the floor, and they're no slouch defensively either. So I like the Big Ten teams. I mean, they could prove me wrong and all lose before they get to the Final Four, but I like a lot of those teams.
How about Iowa State, Notre Dame?
That's interesting. You know, again, Notre Dame goes through the Big East and kind of like the Big Ten where everybody's familiar with one another. But it's just how Cooley, how Jaren Grant go. I know Iowa State's got some guys, Corey Lucius, who used to play at Michigan State. He's got some tournament experience, and Hoiberg always does a good job with Iowa State. But, I mean, I think Notre Dame fans would be disappointed if they didn't get this one because I think overall they had a pretty good year.
Yeah, and when you look at the rest of the game, Dave, we've only got 2 minutes left, and we're gonna end the show on a live note because we want to get out and watch the games. Is there any game today that intrigues you that you think this is definitely going to be an upset or this is a game that people ought to be watching?
I'm not even looking at some of the bracket, but. You know, North Carolina, they play Villanova. I think that's like a 8-9 deal, isn't it? Something like that. A good game. Carolina, they started to play a little bit as the season comes to an end. But, we look back on it tomorrow morning, there are going to be some upsets. But the
North Carolina, when he went to the smaller lineup, it's helped him tremendously. I'm going to tell you what, Big Ten people get mad. I'm picking Colorado to beat Illinois. I just don't believe in Illinois. I may be wrong, but I just don't believe in them.
I can see where you're coming from with that because they've been soft at times. But, again, they're going to tell you because of the Big Ten, and I've used that logic with some other teams, but I'm not so totally convinced as I am with Indiana, Michigan down the line with those teams. Minnesota and UCLA, that's very interesting. UCLA's got some guys with 1 foot out the door in that situation. Minnesota's awfully tough. Well, they use their Big Ten experience. They've got players with Mbakwe. They got a guy out there with Hollins that can, you know, play with the basketball out front. That's a game I'm looking forward to, too.
Yeah, there's going to be some great games, and maybe I'll see you somewhere to watch some of them. Joe, why don't you take us on out the door? We got to finish up here. We got to go watch Wisconsin play.
Okay, guys, you know, there is no high school basketball to invite you to go watch other than if you're going to the state finals, but lots of NCAA basketball to talk about, and we'll be hopefully talking about the Indiana Hoosiers next week as we have yet another edition of the Coach K Show and Joe Show for Kurt Guxell and Coach K. I'm Joe Milligan. We'll see you next week.
The following presentation of the Coach K and Joe Show was brought to you by Harmon Dental Care, Jasper Today, Idea Fusion Media, and the Willis Fence Company. Join us next Friday from 11 to 1 for the next show. Until then, visit www.jaspertodayonline.com or go to iTunes to listen to podcasts of past shows. See you next week.